Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Pegimal. Today's daf is being studied Le'anu Nishmat Yosef Ben Simcha, donated by Jerry Harari and family. Today's daf is being studied Le'anu Nishmat Acham Baruch, Rafael Ben Miriam, and Abraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanichim Began Eden. Amen. We are on Pegimal. We are 8 lines from the top. We're at a Metive. In our previous Gemara, we studied a Mahloket between the Rabbah and the Rabbi Elazar, how they explain a Mahloket between Chachamim and Rabbi Akiba. According to Rabbah, the subject was where a person, let's say, has the rubble of Avodah Zarah. Say a wall that was being used for Avodah Zarah that came down, and now you have all the rubble of the wall. The rocks, the stones, the dirt of it, the sand, the wood. So all those pieces are able to transmit Tum'ah. Rabba said that everybody agrees that this fallen wall has the ability to transmit Tum'ah like a Nida. Just like a Nida has what's called Tum'at Masah. Tum'at Masah would mean that if somebody would carry the Nida, even though they didn't come in contact with it by directly touching it, for example, they carried the Nida, you know, through something, they carried a nida that was sitting on a chair, for example, and lifted it up, that would be considered tum'at masa. Nida, a lady that's nida, can mitameh through tum'at masa. So Avodah Zarah as well, according to Rabbah, according to everybody, ben Rabbi Akiva, ben Rabbanan, is subject to tum'at masa. That's the way Rabbah understood the machloket. And where they were arguing was the gabeh, the law of Ibn Masa'ah. Do we say by Avodah Zarah is a subject to the rock Tum'ah? Which means, as we learned, when you have a rock that's, let's say, above the person, and you put the Avodah Zarah on the person, does the person become Tameh? Which means Rabbi Akiva held that the person underneath the rock would become Tameh through the deen of Ibn Masa'ah, just like a Nida, whereas Hakamim said no. Avodah Zarah is not subject to the deen of Ibn Masa'ah. I mean, according to Hakamim, if you place the Avodah Zarah on the rock and the person walks underneath it, according to the Hakamim, it will not be subject to Tum'ah. They learn it from Sheretz. Just like a Sheretz is not Metameh Tum'at Ibn Masa'ah, so to buy Avodah Zarah. So that was basically the way Rabbah understood the Machloket. So the Gemara says, Metive, we have a question from a Braita. Avodah Zarah Kesheretz. Braita clearly says that Avodah Zarah has a status of a Sheretz. Sheretz is metameh through maga, only through direct contact, through direct touching. Umshamshea Kesheretz. And for that matter, things that serve the Avodah Zarah, for example, the ornaments that are placed around the Avodah Zarah, and the different things that are used in the service to the Avodah Zarah, also have a deen of Sheretz, which means they have Tum'ah like a Sheretz. Maga. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Avodah Zarah Kenida. Whereas Rabbi Akiva comes along and says, Avodah Zarah is a deen of a Nida, which will give it Tum'at Masa, carrying Tum'ah, Umshamshea Kesheretz. But it's Mishamshah, its service items have a lower deen, be like a Sheretz. So the Gemara says, Mishnah, the Rabbi Elazar, Niha. According to the Rabbi Elazar, this bright is very good. Why? Because the way the Rabbi Elazar understood the Mahloket between the Rabbi Akiva and Chachamim was in the law of Tum'at Masa itself. Which means, according to the Rabbi Elazar, he understood that that's what Rabbanan and Rabbi Akiva were arguing on. They were arguing on, does Avodah Zarah have Tum'at Masa or not? And then this Braita clearly sounds like the Bil Azar, the way he set up the Machloket. Because in the Braita we see that according to Hachamim, they say avodah is like a sheretz, which means there's no tumat masa. And according to Hachamim, Rabbi Akiva, they're learning it from, he's learning it from Nida, which means it does have tumat masa. So you see, the machloket in Hachamim Rabbi Akiva is on tumat masa. That's exactly the way Rabbi Elazar set up the argument. However, Ela l'Rava Kasha, but according to Rava, that said everybody agrees. Rabbi Dazra is subject to Tumat Masa. How is he going to learn this Braita? This Braita is much more that they're arguing. So the Gemara says, Amar lecha Rabba. Rabba will answer, Mi alima mimatnitin. Is this Braita any stronger or any better than the Mishnah? Why? What did the Mishnah say? Diktani. We also had a Mishnah that we learned earlier in Avodah Zarah that said that the rubble of the Avodah Zarah wall is Metameh Kesheretz. And the Mishnah even wrote a Pasuk, and I'm saying the Pasuk outside, Shaketz Teshaketzenu. Well, we saw that the Gemara quoted a Pasuk to teach us that Avodah Zarah is Domeh Kesheretz. And still, Rabba, knowing that Mishnah, still said that Avodah Zarah is Metameh B'Masah, even though the Mishnah clearly said it's Domeh Tesheretz. So what does it mean when it's Domeh Tesheretz? Ve'okimna Mai Kesheretz De'lo Metameh Be'ebed Mesamah. We learned that it's regarding Sheretz, not in all the laws of Sheretz. We learned that it's domet to sheretz, just like sheretz is not subject to the law of Eben Mesama, the law of the rock, which means if you have a rock and you put a sheretz on top of the rock and a fellow walked underneath it, he's not going to be tameh. So too, we'll say that the one that learns some sheretz learns that Avodah Zarah is not subject to Eben Mesama. So I'll say the same thing in this bright that you just quoted. When it says Avodah Zarah Kesheretz, it didn't mean the law of Tumat Masa. Everybody holds that what? There's Tumat Masa. The Mahlok it was, is it subject to Ibn Misama or not? And then with the Braita, I'm going back, would read as follows. Avodah Zarah Kesheretz. According to Hakamim, they would say Avodah Zarah like a Sheretz, that what? That it's not Mitameh Ibn Misama. And then the Rabbi Akiva says, Avodah Zarah Kerida, that it is Metameh, Eben Mesamah, which is the subject of that Braita, have nothing to do with Tumat Masa. Really, I'll tell you, Tumat Masa, everybody holds it is Metameh. Here they were arguing on what? Is it subject to Eben Mesamah or not? Just exact like Rabba understood. He says, and that's not a problem, because that's the way we understood the Braita, the Mishnah as well. When the Mishnah above said that the law of Avodah Zarah is domet to sheretz, it meant in regarding the law of Eben Mesama or not. But the gabet tum'at masa, carrying tum'ah, everybody will agree to Rabba that Avodah Zarah is subject to that. Meti Beisul Gemara asks another question according to Rabba. Again from a Braita. Nochri v'nochrit. Nochri v'nochri literally means the one that serves the Avodah Zarah, the person, whether it's a male or a female. That's the idolater or the idolatress. Nochri v'nochrit, Avodah Zarah, that's the idol itself. Umshamshea, that's the service items to the Avodah Zarah. Hen velo esetan, which means they themselves have tum'ah, velo esetan. The way we're understanding the word heset to mean over here means, but it's not subject if somebody carries them. So we mean hen, they themselves have tum'ah, but velo esetan. But if you carry them, meaning tum'at masa, it doesn't have. Rabbi Akiva Omer, hen vesetan. Rabbi Akiva says no. Not only do they have tum'ah, but if you carry them, meaning tum'at masa, it has. So you see this braita clearly learns it's a mahloket if there's tum'at masa or not. That only works out according to Rabbi Elazar, the way he understood the mahloket. So the Gemara says, Bishtama Rabbi Elazar niha. Because he learned that was indeed the machloket between Rabbi Akiva and Hachamim. Is there tum'at masa by avodah zarah or not? Ela l'raba that said kulei alma, that everybody says that avodah zarah is subject to tum'at masa. Kasha, right? You're going to have a question. So comes Gemara and says, Amar lecha Rabba. So Rabba comes along and says, V'letamech, according to your reasoning, the way you're understanding this braita, Nochri v'nochrit nameh hen velo esetan, which means if you're going to read the braita as it is, there's a question in the braita as it is. Why? Because the braita said that the idolater and the idolatrous, mean the nochrit and the nochri and the nochrit, according to the first opinion, is not subject to tumat heset. Meaning the idolater itself is not subject to the law of tumat masa. So Rabbi comes along and says, could that be? Does this braita make sense? That an idolater, the guy himself, is not going to be subject to tumat masa? The Ad Tanya, didn't we learn in the braita, the Ber el Bnei Yisrael, this is the law of Zav. When the Torah is teaching us the law of Zav, Torah says, Daber b'nei Israel, b'nei Israel metameim b'ziva. Only the Jewish people, b'nei Israel, are subject to the law of Zav Tum'ah. Ve'en nochrim metameim b'ziva. But nochrim, the Gentiles, are not subject to laws of Zav. Aval, gazru alehem, the rabbis came along and made a gezera on goyim, shiyehu kezavin echol divrehem. The rabbis came along and they didn't want the Jewish people to be next to the goyim. So therefore they gave a status that once the goy reaches 9 years old, bingo, they put a tumat zav on him. They treat him like a zav. Now we know that one of the tumot of a zav is that he has tumat masa. That if somebody lifts the zav, badai, that person becomes tameh. Which means a zav and a nida are similar, that they both have what's called tum'at masa, that if they are carried, even though they weren't touched, they can cause the person that's carrying them to have tum'ah. So therefore, if you're telling me clearly over here in a braita that goyim also rabbinically have a status of zav, so that braita cannot make sense, Ravasa. Just forget about asking on me. The braita itself doesn't make sense, because the braita said that a nochri and a nochrit, according to the first opinion, there's no eset. The bein is no eset. Of course it's going to be eset. Eset means tumat masa. This braita is clearly telling us that goyim are subject to tumat masa. How do we know that? Because the rabbis imposed upon the goyim tumat zav. And tumat zav is subject to tumat masa. So Rav Asa is holding. Before you ask on this braita from me, the braita itself is difficult to understand. How can there be an opinion in a braita that's going to say that the goyim are not subject to tumat masa, or as the braita calls it, tumat heset? We know from another braita that says the rabbis imposed tumat masa on goyim. Comes again, Maran says, Ela Rabba mitaretz l'tameh. Rabba will answer this braita according to his reasoning. And Rabba will say like this, Nochri v'nochrit. That's the Gentiles themselves. Hen v'hesetan. Have to separate the groups now. Everybody will say that the goyim themselves, hen, they have tumah v'hesetan. And the rabbis imposed upon them tumat eset, meaning carrying tumah. If somebody carries them, even though he doesn't touch them directly, they will become tameh. Ve'evin misama shelahem. And for that matter, also the evin misama will also treat it that what? That they themselves, if they leaned on a rock, let's say, and there was somebody underneath it, so it will also bring tumah. However, Avodah Zarah itself, the idol, he ve'seta. It'll become, it is Tameh itself. Ve'seta, if you lift Avodah Zarah, Tumat Masa, if you carry it, Avalo Evin Mesama Shela. But not Evin Mesama by the Avodah Zarah itself. And the Rabbi Akiva will say, Avodah Zarah, he which means Rabbah will just adjust the Braita to make it say exactly what he held. Everybody holds that Avodah Zarah is subject to Tumat Masa. The Mahloket is it subject to Tumat Eben Mesama? So Chamim will say it's not subject to Eben Mesama. Rabbi Akiva will say it is. Regarding the idolaters themselves, the Goyim themselves, everybody's going to say they have subject to Tumat Masa, based on the bright that Rabbah brought above that said the Hakamim imposed upon Goyim Tumat Masa. So let's read that again. I'd like to read Ela Rabbah Metaretz Leta'ameh. I'm going to read the Braita again, the way Rabbah adjusted it. Again, Ela Rabbah Metaretz Leta'ameh Nochri VeNochrit, and those are the actual people themselves. En VeSetan, they have Tum'ah and they have Tum'at Masa as well. Beautiful. So Rabbah, by the way, answered that problem. There is Tum'at Heset by the people. The Eved Misamash Shalein. And furthermore, if you're treating it like a Zav, we're going to put also the strictness of Zav that has Eved Misamah as well. Avodah Zarah, the idol itself, it itself has Tum'ah. Ve'seta, and also be Tumat Masa, according to everybody. Avalo Eved Misamash Shalein. Hakamim will say, but we didn't go so strict to give it all the laws of, for example, Nidah or Zav, and therefore Avodah Zarah itself will not have Eben Mesama Tum'ah, according to Hakamim. Rabbi Akiva will say, Avodah Zarah, he ve'seta ve'eben Mesama Shah. That's exactly the way Rabbah understood the Mahloket earlier. Rabbi El-Azhar mitaretz l'tameh. Rabbi El-Azhar, who held that they were actually arguing on Tum'at Masa, if there is Tum'at Masa ve'Avodah Zarah, he'll also adjust the Braita to make sense according to him. And he'll learn the Braita as follows. Nukhri v'nukhrit, hen v'setan v'eben misamash shalahim. Which means, when it comes to the Goyim themselves, he keeps it the same. They have Tum'ah, there's carrying Tum'ah by the Goyim, like we learned in the Braita above, the rabbis imposed carrying Tum'ah by the Goyim. V'eben misamash shalahim, and as well as be Tum'at eben misamah. Avodah Zarah, but Avodah Zarah itself, he v'lo heseta. Right, according to Hakamim, they'll say that there's no Tumat Masa by the Avodah Zarah itself. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Avodah Zarah, he v'seta. That's the actual Mahlok. Rabbi Akiva will say that Avodah Zarah is also subject to Tumat Masa. So therefore, each rabbi, Rabbah and Rabbi El-Azhar, are able to adjust this Braita to make sense, each one according to his respective opinion. That's the way the Gemara understood this Braita. Now Rav Asher is going to come along and levy a question against the way we just understood this. Matkif la Rav Asher. Rav Asher has a question. My hen. What does the word in the Braita mean, hen? If you saw the Braita, for example, said, Nochri v'nochri t'avodah zaram shemesht hen ve'lo esetan. So we understood the word hen means they themselves have Tum'ah, there's Tum'ah by them, Tumat Masa, etc. The hen was defining, they themselves have Tum'ah. So Rav Asher doesn't like that. Rav Asher says, what do you tell me? The word hen means they have Tum'ah. Obviously, because if you're telling me a line later that they're subject to Tum'at Masa, of course they have Tum'ah. Well, could something be subject to carrying Tum'ah if it itself is not Tameh? Of course not. So the word hen, according to Rav Asher, the way at least we were learning it till now, was superfluous. Obviously, for example, an Idah is subject to Tum'at Masah. Why? Because she herself is Tameh. Exactly. You don't have to tell me that she is Tameh once you're telling me that she's subject to Tum'at Masa. So Rav Asher doesn't like the word, the way we interpreted it this whole round, and it itself has Tum'ah. Of course it itself has Tum'ah. So Rav Asher is Matkif, he said, my hen, what is this word, hen? let's look at Rashi. Matkif la Rav Asher, my hen, Iraba v'Rabbi El-Azhar heset de Braita lashon masa mashma. Right? We learned earlier
that we're interpreting the word hisit. In the Braita, hisit means tum'at masa. That means, even if you don't come in contact with, let's say, the Avodah Zarah, just by carrying it, it can bring the person tum'ah. So now, what does it mean, hen ve'esetan? Hen ve'lo esetan, or them and not the eset, diktani. Ben Rabbi Akiva ben Rabbanan. If it's the tamid that they themselves have to ma'a, peshita. Of course. Di'i teorimim, he set minalehu. Which is, if they're ta'or, there's no tumat eset bichlal. So that Hashem is bothered with the word hen. That bothers him. Which means it should have just said Avodah Zarah yesh hesed, Avodah Zarah en hesed. But if that's the whole subject, is there masa or not, take out the word hen. So Rav Asher now is going to redefine how to learn this braita using the word hen. Ela amar Rav Asher hachik amar. Rav Asher says this is what it means to say nochrit, nochri v'nochrit. Those are the goyim themselves. Ben hen shesitu et acherim, uben acherim shesitu oto temeim. Which means now we're learning that the hen is not saying that they're tameh. The hen is coming to tell you another type of carrying tum'ah. Which means the beraita was saying like this. Not only if a guy, a tahor guy, carried the Avodah Zarah, that's regular tumat masa. For example, he put the Avodah Zarah in a bag, as we learned, and he put it over his shoulder. That would be a classic case of tumat masa, where he's not coming directly in contact with it. He's holding it over his shoulder. That's the regular deen of tumat masa. But not only that case, but a case the opposite way, with Avodah Zarah was carrying the guy. Now we'll see exactly how that's possible, but it's going both ways, which means that I read inside the Gemara, Elamara Basheh Hachi Kamar, Nochri V'Nochrit, let's say by the idolaters themselves, the Goyim themselves, Ben En Shesitu Et Achirim, whether they carried others, that's a new type of Tumat Masa, which means the Avodah, that the Goy himself carried something else, Uben Acherim Shesitu Oto, or whether others carried him. So then what the hen is referring to, they themselves that carried something, or somebody else that carried them, Temeim. Avodah Zarah, when it comes to the idolatry itself, Shesita Acherim, if the Avodah Zarah itself carried others, Tehorim. Oh, that makes sense, because Avodah Zarah carries something else, that's not considered Tumat Masa. However, Acherim, Shesitu Ota, others that lifted the Avodah Zarah, Temim, Mishamshea, and its service items, Ben En Shesitu Et Acherim, Ben Acherim Shesitu Ota, Tehorim. That would be the opinion of Hakamim. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Nochri V'Nochrit, V'Avodah Zarah, Ben En Shesitu Et Acherim, Ben Acherim Shesitu Otam Temeim. Which means, according to Rav Asher, the Avodah Zarah itself, according to Rabbi Akiva, whether a guy lifted it or it lifted others, Tameh. Mishamshea Ben En Shesitu Acherim, Ben Acherim Shesitu Otam Teorim. Now let's review again. All Rav Asher did is still work it out according to Rabba, which means according to Rabba, everybody holds that there is Tum'at Masa by Avodah Zarah. Furthermore, by the guy himself, the Goyim themselves, everybody agrees that there's also Tum'at Masa. That's the rabbinical imposition that the rabbis made by Tum'at Goy. All Rav Asher added in the Braita here is a new definition of the word hen. Whereas before we're learning hen, what? They themselves have tum'ah. No. Of course they have tum'ah. If they could have tum'at masa, of course they have tum'ah themselves.
The word hand, the way he defines it is that just like if somebody lifts them up, that's tumat masa, so too if the goy lifts something up. Hand, if they lift something up, or others lifted them up, they will bring tum'ah. But by the idol itself, so then already we have a machloket between Rabbi Akiva and Akiva. Everybody will agree that tumat masa there is. Meaning, if the fellow lifted the Abu Dazara up, tameh. The machloket will be if the Abu Dazara lifted somebody else up, is that going to be tameh? Whereas Rabbi Akiva will say yes, works both ways. And Achamim will say no. So I want to read that in the Braita again, according to the way Rav Asher adjusted. Now, we could adjust this Braita for the Bi'il Azar as well. The Rav Asher or the Gemara only gives us the way it works out according to Rava. But let's read it inside again. I'm going to start from El Amar Rav Asher, Hachi Kamar. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines from the bottom. This is what the Braita means. Nochri v'nochrit. Those are the people themselves. Ben hen she situ with the harim, right? Whether they lifted up others, or ben harim she situ otam, or whether others lifted them up. Temim. So by the people themselves, it works both ways. Avodah zarah she situ harim teorim. By avodah zarah, if the avodah zarah lifted others, teorim. Harim she situ otam, which is the regular din of tumat masa, temim. Regarding the mishamshia, the service items, ben en shesitu et aharim, ben aharim shesitu otam, teorim. So there's no tumah bechlal by the service items. That's hakamim. Rabbi Akiva omer, nochri v'nochrit. Not only the people themselves, but avodah zarah also. Ben en shesitu et aharim, ben aharim shesitu otam, which means whether the avodah zarah lifted up something else, or somebody else lifted up the avodah zarah, temim. But agreed, mishamshia, Benhem shesitu harim, ben harim shesitu otam, teorim. So the Gemara says, Avodah Zarah, by the case of Avodah Zarah, the idol itself, Bishlama acherim shesitu otah. I have a case where, let's say, others lifted it. Right, a regular guy lifted Avodah Zarah. That's the case of Tum'at Masa. Mashkahata. We have a case, which is a normal case, which we're talking about. Elahi shesita et acherim, hechi mashkahata. But how do you have a case of an avodah zarah that's an inanimate object that lifted something else? Well, Jesus said, we're talking about a pesel over here. How does a pesel have the ability to lift something? Which means the way Rav Asher learned he, the word he means, or and them, meaning if they lifted something, meaning if avodah zarah lifted something, how does avodah zarah lift something? So Gemara asked this question. Hechi mashka'atla. So the Gemara says, Alma Rami bere derav yiba kiditnan. It means when they lifted something, it means like the way we learned in the following Mishnah. Hazav bekaf moznayim ve'ochlin umashkim bekaf sheniya kara hazav temein. Which means, let's say you have a scale, the balance scale, with the two cups on both sides. On one side of the scale you have food stuff. And the other side of the scale, the Zav went, and let's say he pressed down on it. So now, technically we're going to consider that as the Zav carrying by the case of a Zav, let's say. Right? A Zav. Technically, it's like carrying the food stuff, and everyone's going to render it tameh. For that matter, if you put idols, avodah zarah, on the other side, it will be considered that the avodah zarah ki'ilu is, you know, carrying the food stuff on the other side, and that's the case that we're talking about. That if they carried others, meaning just like a zav that presses down on the scale. He doesn't even have to actually press down. If somebody was pressing down already, and the Zav just came in, continued holding down, which means he's putting the pressure on one side of the scale, even though he didn't move it technically. He just, through his pressure on holding down one side of the scale, the Zav can make the food stuff Tameh, so too Avodah Zarah. That's the case of Heset, not Heset, that's the case of Hen. When it said in the Braita, Hem, they themselves, if they carry others, how does Avodah Zarah carry something? It doesn't mean literally carry it. It means through their weight that they place that, for example, on one side of the scale, that can mitameh the other side. However, the Gemara says, Karu Hen Tehorin, which means the other side. Let's say the Zav was on the scale, and the food stuff weighed them down, and they pressed down on the food side, so the food will not become Tameh in that case. Only in the case where the Zav is like holding the food, and not the food is holding the Zav. Karu'en Teorim. As she says, V'nasu'en et Zav. Teorim, Ditnan. Now she just explains on top, why is that case Tahor? Ditnan. Kol Sha'zav Nisa alav tahor, which means even though technically you'll say now that the food pulling down on the food is carrying the zav. It's like the zav is on it. Now we know whatever a zav sits on, whatever a zav lies on, makes it tameh. But that's only items that are designated for lying or sitting. That would be like a bed. But food stuff, obviously, the zav doesn't rest on. So then when the foodstuff side of the scale is pressed down, we don't consider the Zav is on it, for example. Even if you do consider it, the Torah only says a Zav is on a bed or a chair or an item designated for sitting, not on a foodstuff. So that she says, I read that she again on top of the daf, Teorin, Ditan, Kol Shazav Nisa Alav Tahor, Chutz Min Ra'uy L'Mishkav U'Moshav Adam. And only on things that are designated for sitting. Abal kol shar kelim ve'ochlim en mitamim machmat mishkav u'moshav, which is all other types of items are not going to be tameh from the pressure that the zav puts on it. So in this case over here, where the food stuff, let's say, is pushing down the zav and holding the zav, we don't consider it resting on it to make the food stuff tameh. But the other side, yes, when the zav is on the other side of the scale, that's going to be considered tumat heset to the extent that the food will become tameh because the zav is pressuring it down. So the same thing will be avodah zarah. Whether somebody lifted the avodah zarah, which is holding the avodah zarah, that's regular tumat masa, or the avodah zarah is holding it. How? Avodah zarah is inanimate. It means, let's say, a case, for example, on the scale. Now there are some rashis over here. Let's just read the Rashi on the bottom of the daf here. Kara azav temeim. Kara azav temeim is talking about the scale case, where the zav that rested on one side of the scale and was holding the food, right? His pressure was keeping the food up. Share setan zav, because now the zav technically moved the food. He wanted to read that part of Rashi, which means this law would apply not only if there was food stuff on the other side of the scale, if there was mashkim on the other side of the scale, that she says if there were vessels on the other side of the scale, or for that matter, another person on the other side of the scale. It's not only by food. The rest of that, as she brings down pisukim to prove that each item would be subject to such tumah. Comes the Gemara and continues. Keman azla hadetanya. According to who is this braita going? What does the braita say? Kol atemeot amesitot tehorot. Chutz meseto shel zav shelo matzinu lo haver bechol haTorah kula. What does this braita say? It starts off, kol atemeot amesitot, Rashi. Kol atemeot, anything that's tameh, hamesitot achirim, that moves other things, that she says, kegon bekaf moznayim, for example, on the scale case, or adam tameh met, or let's say, adam tameh met, let's say, shesitot et chavero, that moved his friend, for example, in the scale case, teorin. Chutz mesetot shel zav, which is the only case in the Torah you find of this din of heset, is by a zav. Shelo matzinu lo haver b'chol haTorah kula. We haven't found a friend to this type of tumah except by tumah zav. It seems that no other tumah, not met, whatever it is, has this din of hesed. Braita is telling you it's only subject to tumat zam. Who's the author of this braita? So the Gemara says, lema delo kerabi Akiva. Let us say that this is not going according to Rabbi Akiva. Why? Di'i kerabi Akiva ikaname avodah zarah. Because Rabbi Akiva says that not only does Zav have this tumat hesed, but if we learned in the braita just now that Rabbi Akiva says avodah zarah is going to have the same deen. So therefore we found two cases that have tumat hesed, which means Rabbi Akiva learned from Zav the deen of avodah zarah. And just like the Zav case, if you put, let's say, the Zav on one side of the scale and it moved the food stuff, for that matter, if you put avodah zarah on the side of the scale, it'll also be considered tameh. So therefore this braita that said the only case we found is Zav, that cannot be going like Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva indeed says even tumat avodah zarah itself, the idols, would be subject to the same tumah. What are you saying? Afilu tema Rabbi Akiva. Because even said this braita is going like Rabbi Akiva. Tana Zav v'chol d'damile. The braita says, Yani, Zav? It means Zav and anything that is similar to the Zav, which means that anything that you learn from the Zav, which means the Zav is the source, and anything that you compare to the Zav, which means if you're going to compare avodah zarah to a Zav, it'll also have the deen of Hesed. So therefore, the Braita can also be as well, which means we learned, as she says, which means we had special pesukim to teach us that avodah zarah is similar to nida. Right? We had a pasuk. And once already you have a pasuk that compares avodah zarah to a zav, zav and nida are basically the same thing. Zav is somebody, the lady that has the emission from her body, and a zav is a male that has an emission from his body. So therefore, whatever is zav is the law. And whatever is compared to zav, for example, like avodah zarah that we said is compared to nida, will also be subject to this type of tumah itself. So the braita can be going also like Rabbi Akiva, ba'er Rav Chama bar Guria. Rav Chama bar Guria had a question: avodah zarah yeshna le'evarim or ena le'evarim? And we go back to a subject that we discussed yesterday. Avodah zarah that, let's say, was made up of components, and let's say one of the components broke, it came apart. Does that broken component still have a status of avodah zarah that will be able to emanate from it tum'ah or not? The components that broke from an avodah zarah, do they have a status of tum'ah or not? That was Rav Chama bar Guria's question. So the Gemara says, if it broke in a way where even a regular guy can reattach it, because you don't need a craftsman to put the piece back, it's easy to replace it, which means the hediot yakol lesira lehazira, even the simple guy, the non-craftsman, is able to put it back. Lo tiv'ilach. We're not asking in that case. Dechman demechaberet dameh. Clearly that's going to be considered attached. That's not considered broken. If a regular guy can put it back, that's going to be considered still attached, and therefore it's going to have tum'ah. Ki tiv'ilach. What was his question? Hechad enejot yakol lehazira. Or the hediot, let's say, cannot put it back, reassemble it. My, what's the deen in that case? Do you say since he can't put it back, that's considered broken, and therefore it will not have tum'ah? Or dilma halo mehsera? Or do you say bottom line, it's not lacking, which is still there? Bottom line, since it could be placed back, therefore it will be tameh. So therefore, in a case, the way they understand this question is like this. In a case where the hediot, the common guy, which is the simple guy, if he could reattach it, everybody holds that's not considered broken. That's considered definitely like it's attached, and therefore it's going to bring tum'ah. The question is if it broke, and only a craftsman can put it back. No, regular avodah zarah that's made out of pieces. We asked this question by the rubble. The case of it is like a regular avodah zarah that has parts to it. A piece came off of it. If the simple guy, the idiot, could put it back, that's considered attached. Tameh. However, if only a craftsman could put it back, that's where he had a sefik. Do you say, since only a craftsman can put it back, it means it's broken? If it's broken, it's considered separate from the Avodah Zarah, therefore it's not going to be Tameh. Or do you say, bottom line, it's still here, it's still part of it, and therefore it will be? That was Rav Chama Bar Guria's question. That's one way of understanding his question. And some learned the question the other way. How? If let's say it can only be replaced by a craftsman, now this way of understanding the question was, if a craftsman has to put it back, for sure it's considered broken. That's not a question. And therefore, if it's considered broken, it's not going to have tuma. Where was the question then? Where the hedyot, where the regular guy can put it back. My keman the hedyot yachol lahazira keman the mitabra dame. Actually, you have to change the girsa over here. The lo mitabra, you have to read it, which means keman the hedyot yachol lahazira. Since the simple guy could put it back, keman the lo mitabra dame. It's not going to be considered broken since he could put it back, and if it's not considered broken, it'll be considered tame. Bottom line, right now, it's broken. It's not there. Vesharian should be mutar. Tiku. So bottom line, the two ways of understanding the question, either it was obvious on the side where, let's say, a hedyot is able to put it back, or it was obvious in a case where a craftsman could put it back. Which is according to one way of understanding the question, if a hedyot could put it back, which means if a regular guy could attach it back, for sure that's considered attached. No she'ela. That was one way. And the question would be on the other side, what? You need a craftsman. The other way of understanding the question, if a craftsman, you need a craftsman to put it back, for sure that's considered broken. Which means if you need a craftsman to do it, it's not broken. And the question was, by a hedyot, do you say it's considered attached or not? So this is two ways of looking at the question of the Chama Bar Guria, and the Gemara leaves it off in a teku. Okay. Rab Ahdabavi Bar Ameh had a question. Avodah Zarah Pechuta Mekezayit Mahu. Let's say you have Avodah Zarah that's less than the size of a Kezayit. It's a full Avodah Zarah. It's not a piece. But it's less than the size of a kezayit. Does it have tum'ah or not? Matkif la Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef has a question on this. He says, "Lemay, what are you asking? When you say pechuta mekezayit mahu, mahu what? Idimah le'inyan isura. If you're telling me le'inyan isur, which means." That it's asur bahana'a, that it's asur bahana'a, which is, what's your question? Is Avodah Zarah less than a kezayit asur bahana'a? Pashut. Lo ye'ela zvuv ba'al ikron. It's not going to be worse than the Avodah Zarah called zvuv of ba'al ikron. Zvuv was a type of Avodah Zarah that was fashioned in the shape of a fly. And they used to worship it. The Jewish people used to worship it as well. And it was a small, tiny Avodah Zarah. And we know the Tanya, we have a braita regarding this tiny Avodah Zarah. It says, Vayasimu, I quote the Pasuk, this is after Gideon died. Gideon was one of the Shoftim. After he died, it says, the Jewish people reverted back to Avodah Zarah. And the Pasuk writes, Vayiznu achaleha ba'alim, Vayasimu lahem ba'al brit l'Elohim. They made for themselves a covenant with foreign gods. And the Gemara says, what foreign god was that? Zeh Zvuv Baal Ikron. This is referring to the Avodah Zarah called Zvuv of Baal Ikron. Milameh, and we learn from there, they made a covenant with them. What was the covenant that they made with this Avodah Zarah? Shekol Echad Ve'Echad Asad Dmut Yirato. Everybody made a image or a model of their Avodah Zarah. And they would place it in their pocket. It was like a small Avodah Zarah pocket size. When they would think about it and remember it, they would take the Avodah Zarah out of their pockets. They would hug it. And they would kiss it. which means this small Avodah Zarah, they made a covenant. What was the covenant? A love covenant with it. They were hugging it and kissing it. So therefore, we know the Zvub obviously was less than a Kezayit, it's a fly. And still, it has a din of Avodah Zarah. So for sure, it's a Subhanah. For sure, I don't care what the size of the Avodah Zarah is, you're not going to be allowed to have any benefit from it. So comes the Gemara and says, "Ela le'anyan tum'ah." Question: we know it's asur b'hana'ah, even less than a kezayit. Question is, less than a kezayit of avodah zarah, does it have tum'ah or not? My, what's the question? It says, "Kevan de'it kish le'sheretz." Well, since we know the avodah zarah is compared to a sheretz, so I could say, "Ma sheretz bechadasha, af avodah zarah nami bechadasha." Just like we know the size of a sheretz that renders tumah is the size of a lentil. It's much less than a kezayit. So if I can say also Avodah Zarah is also the size of an adasha for tumah. Or dilma ha'et kish lemet. Or do I say no, I have another place that proves that Avodah Zarah is compared to a met. And I'll say ma met bekezayit. Just like a dead man, the shoot of tumah is only a kezayit. Av Avodah Zarah bekezayit. So to Avodah Zarah is a kezayit. So therefore, the question that the rabbi had was, less than a kezayit is a tameh. What was his question? Do we compare it to sheretz and therefore it will be tameh? Or do we compare it to met and it won't be tameh? For sure it's asur b'hana'ah, which means that's no question. Avodah Zarah, even the size of a fly is asur b'hana'ah. It's asur to have benefit from it. The shilah was tum'ah. Amar avya ve'tim araba bar'ulah. Tashimaz, I'll answer your question. Come in here from a braita, the Tanya. Avodah Zarah pehuta mekezayit. And batum'ah kol ikar. He clearly answers it. Less than a kezayit, no tum'ah. Shne'emar, he quotes a pasuk. The pasuk is also Melachim. It says, "Vayashlech et afara al kever b'nei adam." B'nei ha'am, actually. Which is talking about over here, after the Jewish people worshipped Avodah Zarah, it says the shofet or the Navi came, and the Navi came and burnt all the Avodah Zarah of the Jewish people, and he went and he scattered the ashes over the bodies of the dead people that worshipped it. Jesus, they died already. So they took the Avodah Zarah, powder of it, the afar, and they sprinkled it over their graves. So what do you see over here? That there's a connection between Avodah Zarah and a mit. Right? That you see the connection. So the Gemara says, Ma met bekezai, just like a met is talking about a kezai, that's the minimum shiur of tumat met. Avodah Zarah bekezayit. Beautiful. So the Gemara's question was very, very, very basic now. Avodah Zarah, let's say a kezai. Tameh? No. Asur b'hana'ah? Yes. Now the Gemara says, V'rabbanan. Now let's go back to the machloket of Rabbanan and Rabbi Akiba. Comes at the three places where we learn Avodah Zarah from. From a sheretz, from a nida, and now from a mit. So the Gemara says, V'rabbanan, lema yilcheta et kash le'sheretz. Reviewing. What did the rabbis learn from sheretz? What was the connection? De'lo metameh b'masa. Which means, according to one of the ways of learning, according to the Bilazah's way of learning, the rabbis learned from sheretz, that just like sheretz is not subject to carrying tum'ah, tum'at masa, it's only metameh tum'at maga. So to Avodah Zarah, only maga. Okay, that was what you learned from sheretz. What did you learn from nida? Le'nida, de'ena le'evarim. That just like a nida, that's limbs come off, there's no tumat nida. So to an Avodah Zarah, that limbs come apart, there's no tumah. Le'met, and what did they learn from met? De'lo metameh b'chadasha. That it's not going to metameh the size of a lentil. So they learned from all three things, leniencies. Sheretz, no tumat masa. Nida, no tumat evarim. Met, no tumah on the size of an adasha. So the Gemara says, Ema lechumra. Who told them to learn all leniencies from the three cases? Why didn't they learn all stringencies? And say the following, Lema yilchita kshanachmana lesheretz. I'll tell you, you know what we learn from sheretz? Metamuyeh b'chadasha. To tell me that just like a sheretz is metamuyeh b'chadasha, so to Avodah Zarah. Lenida, metamuyeh b'ebin mesamah. And I'll tell you, learn from the Idah, the Humrah of what? That it's subject to Tumat Ibn Masama. Akshar Ahmar Lemet, Litamuye Be'ohil. The Tamil Avadazah will be Tamil Be'ohil, Lemet, just like a Met. So the question is, rabbis, who told you to always learn Lekula? Why didn't you learn the laws, the Humrah? So the Gemara says, very important Hiddush. Tumat Avodah Zarah de Rabbanani. This whole Tum'ah that we've been talking about with Abu Dazara is a rabbinical Tum'ah. Vekula. And therefore, since it's rabbinical, we go la'akel, we go lenient. Vechumra lekula makshinan. Lechumra lo makshinan. Which means, when we're going to learn from other places, we're going to learn lekula and not lechumra, since the avodah zarah itself din is lekula. So let's read that inside again. Tumat avodah zarah derabanan hi vekula vechumra lekula makshinan lechumra lo makshinan. Which means, but those that lashon vechumra, let's see that she for a second. So which means you're reading it. Tumat avodah zarah derabanani vekula vechumra. Vekula vechumra. When you have a choice, either it's a kula chumra lekula makshinan lechumra lo makshinan. Which means avodah zarah is lekula. Yeah, if you have a choice to either learn chumra or kula, like we just gave you the choices, we're going to learn it lekula. And we're not going to learn it lechumra because the deen is drabbanan. We go lakel. Let's just read one Rashi inside. Rashi dibura matchil drabbanan. The last Rashi before the Mishnah. The cholhana chekeshot. All these connections that we said. It's domet tenida. We call it a pasuk. It's domet tesheretz. And we call it a pasuk. Rashi's going to tell us those pasukim are only asmachtot. Those pesukim are not biblical derashot. They're just pesukim that we make derashot, but they don't have a level of a deoraita. That she says, "Dechol anachi keshut devrei kabbalan inu v'asmaktot be'alma." It's just derashot that we made, but they don't have a weight of a deoraita. V'shakes teshakesir ulav lashon sheres mamashi el aikar klal lechelot Hashem genai. So even the pesuk of shakes teshakesenu, where we learned that Avodah Zarah is domet tesheretz, that's not what the real pasuk is coming to say. It's coming to tell you, treat it like a shekets, treat it like something that's disgusting. We made it in Hashem, it's domet tesheretz, because the word shekets and sheretz are the same. The only point we have to say over here is, according to the rabbis, they learned lekula. But according to the Bi Akiva, he learned a lot of the laws, the humrah. He learned that it's domet tenida, that it has tumat. Masa. He learned from the dad that there's also Tumat Ibn Misama. So he means he agrees with the Akiva that the deen of Avodah Zarah is the Rabbanan. Everybody agrees that the Tumat of Avodah Zarah is the Rabbanan. However, could be because the Homer of Avodah Zarah, so it's different than the regular deen of the Rabbanan Nekula. Since we're talking about Avodah Zarah, which is a stringent item, so therefore he learned his laws from the different places, the Chumrah as well. The Mishnah continues, Minayin l'sfina shehi tehora. How do we know that a boat is tehora, meaning boats are not subject to the laws of Tum'ah at all? Shene'emar, because we have a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Derech oniya belev yam." This is a pasuk in Mishle, which says it's the way of a boat to be in the heart of the ocean. So the Gemara will explain how that pasuk teaches us that boats themselves are not subject to tumah. Gemara says, "Peshita oniya belev yami." Isn't that obvious? I don't need a pasuk in Mishle to tell me that a boat is in the heart of the ocean. What was Shlomo trying to teach us? Peshita. Oniya belev yami. A boat is in the lev yam. Hakamash malan. It's coming to teach us. Kiyam. It's teaching you that a boat has a status of the ocean itself. Ma yam tahor. Just like the ocean is tahor, it's not become tameh. Af sfina tehora. So to a boat is Teorah. Tanya, we have a braita. Hananya says, Nilmeda Misak. We could learn the Torah of a boat from the law of a sack. Sack is made out of goat's hair. The Torah tells us that things that are made out of goat's hair, like a receptacle, have susceptibility to tum'ah. The Gemara says, Ma sack. Not only sack, but things that are similar to sack. For example, the Torah says wood, or for that matter, leather, also would be susceptible to the same tum'ah because they share the same properties as sack. What are the properties of a sack? Metaltel male verekan. You're able to carry it when it's full and empty, which means a sack is like a bag where you fill it up and you're able to carry it. So to all vessels that you're able to fill them up and carry them, whether it's a wood vessel or whether it's a vessel made out of leather, if you're able to carry it maleh, which means when it's filled up, so then it's going to be susceptible to tum'ah. Af kol metaltel maleh berekan. Not only sack, but anything that's metaltel, that's movable, maleh berekan, filled and empty. However, la puke sfina, it's coming to exclude a boat. Even though the boat, let's say, is made out of wood, however, the ena metaltelet maleh berekan, you don't lift the boat up. The boat is too heavy to lift up. And therefore, it's not dome lesak. So therefore, this rabbi, meaning Hananya, gave a different reason why the boats are not subject to tum'ah. Not based on the pasuk in Mishleh, but based on the din in the Torah. The only types of wooden vessels that are tameh awad, things that are similar to a sack, where you can carry them when they're full. A boat you don't carry when they're full. Now, Tosfot does point out, even though it is floating in the ocean, but that's not considered carrying it. The water is moving the boat, but that's not considered carrying it. Therefore, boats are not susceptible to tumah. So the Gemara says, "My benayu, what's the difference between the reasons you gave me? One reason you gave me is it's like a yam. Just like a yam is not mikabel tumah, so to a boat. And the other reason you gave me is from sack. That just like a sack, it's only tameh because it's able to be lifted when it's full. Mashenk in a boat. Is there a practical halachic difference between the two reasons?" The Gemara says, "Yes. Ika benayu sefina shel cheres." There'll be a difference. Let's say you have a boat that's made out of cheres. Cheres would be, let's say, clay or pottery. And the Torah does not compare sack to pottery, which means sack is only compared to wood, leather, but not pottery. Therefore, if you have a keli that's made out of clay, even though you don't lift it and carry it, according to the Torah, it will be tameh. So then that'll be the difference. If you go with the sack pasuk, then a boat made out of clay is going to be tameh. But if you go according to the Mishneh pasuk, derech oniya belev yam, just like the yam is not metameh, any boat made out of any material will not become tameh. So the Gemara says, man damar oniya belev yam. According to the opinion that brings the pasuk oniya belev yam, haname belev yami. This bottom, I don't care what it's made out of the boat. Even the clay boat is put in the yam. Therefore, it'll be taor. Man damar kesak. But the one that learns it, like the tumah v'sak, hanach dechtivi gabe sak. Only the items that were written in the pasuk of sak, which means wood and leather, etc. The imit al tele maleh v'rekan in ilo lo. Then they're going to have the condition of if they're able to be carried when they're full, then they will be tameh. If not, not. However, avas finah shel cheres. But it's finah made out of cheres. Afal gav de'ena mital tele maleh v'rekan. Even though it cannot be lifted when it is full, it is still going to be tameh because it does not subject to the law of sacks. There'll be a nafkamina between a sefina shel cheres. If you learn from derech oniya belev yam, so then what? Tameh. I don't care. Boat is a boat in the ocean. Just like the ocean is always tahor, a boat of any material is always tahor. But if you're learning that from sack, only the things that were compared to sack under the pasuk, for example, Wood will be tameh, will only be tameh if you're able to put things in it and carry it. But a wooden boat, you don't fill it up and then carry a boat. Therefore, a wooden boat would be tahor. But a clay boat made out of pottery, let's say, that boat was never compared to a sack. That type of material in the pasuk was never compared to. Therefore, even though you can't carry it when it's full, doesn't matter, and therefore it is going to be subject to the laws of Tuma. Inamet, Gemara gives a different answer. Sefina Tayarden, a boat that floats in the Jordan River. Now she tells us that this is a very small boat, because the Jordan River is very narrow, so they have small boats. So this boat indeed can be lifted up, even if it's full. So the Gemara says, he, which means according to the opinion, says only Abelev Yam, Hanami only Abelev Yami. So this also is considered Belev Yam, even though the Jordan is not an ocean, but it's considered a body of water. Therefore, the boat is going to be Tahor because it's Belev Yam. And according to the opinion that says that things that are Metaltel, Maleverekan, Haname Metaltel, Maleverekan, this small boat can be lifted even if it's full, therefore it is going to be Tameh. So there'll be another Nafkamina. According to the opinion that says Belev Yam Tahor, but according to the opinion that says if it can be Metaltel, it's Domele Sak, this small boat will be Tameh because it can be lifted by hand, even when it is full. The Amar of Hanina ben Akabia, the Pnema Amru Sifinat Erden Temea, Vachananya ben Akabia To. What's the reason why the rabbi said that the boats of the Jordan River are Temea? Vipne Shetohanin Otam Beyabasha, Omoridim Otam Namai, because they used to lift them on the ground, on dry land, and place them into the Jordan. Now, either they were filled, they would lift them up because they were small boats. So you see, it's metaltelet maleh. So the fact that they lifted it up brings susceptibility to mad dumya. That's the way they brought it into the Jordan River. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Le'olam al yimna adam et atzmo mebet ha-midrash. A person should never refrain himself from the Beit HaMidrash, v'afilu sha'a achat, even for one moment, which means even for a small time, you should always be in the Beit HaMidrash. Why? Sha're kama shanim nishnit mishnah zu beBeit HaMidrash. This mishnah regarding the boats, for many years was discussed in the Beit HaMidrash. Ve'lo nitgale ta'ma. However, we never knew the reason, Ad Sheba Rabbi Hananya ben Akabia Upersha, which means we always knew the Mishnah that she says in Masechet Kelim that says, Sefinat Yarden is Temea. That we knew, the boats of the Jordan are Temea. We never knew the reason until Rabbi Hananya ben Akabia came one day into Beit Midrash, and all of a sudden he gave us an enlightening explanation. Because Metaltelet Maleh. So therefore the Gemara learns from this, you always have to be in the Beit Midrash, because you never know when a rabbi is going to propose a Hiddush and answer questions that, you know, were bothering the Hakamim for many years. Therefore you always have to be in the Beit Midrash, because there's always something new and a novel idea that is going to be proposed. So the Gemara says along these same lines, Amar Rabbi Yonatan, Le'olam al yimna adam et atzmo mebet ha-midrash, Umidivre Torah, a person should not refrain from going to the Beit Midrash or from that matter for learning Divre Torah, Vafilu Bishat Mita, even at the time of death. Shana Emar, Zot Torah Adam Kiyamut Be'oil. This is the Torah regarding a person that dies in a tent. But the Hakamim give a derasha on this, that not only this pasuk is teaching us the laws of Tum'at, net in an oil, but it's saying Afilu Bishat Mita. As if the pasuk is saying, Zot Torah, this Torah should be studied, Adam Kiyamut Bol, even a guy who's dying in a tent should study Torah. Which means the Hiddush of the Gemara is, don't think that the Torah is only to be learned in order to weaken the Yetzer Hara, in order to control the person's passions so he doesn't go after his Yetzer Hara, so you have to study Torah. If that was the only reason why you have to study, so at the time of death, well, obviously the Yetzer Hara is not controlling him. He's now on his deathbed, so you'd say maybe you don't have to learn. Comes the Gemara and says, no, learning is not only to control the Yetzer Hara, but learning has a value and importance on its own. Even in a case where, let's say, a person would not be subject to the trappings of the Yetzer Hara. So there was even a guy in his deathbed, if he has the ability, he should be studying Torah and thinking the Divrei Torah. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rish Lakish, and Shakish gives a different derash on this pasuk, that we learn till now that what the Divrei Torah has to be studied at all times, even at the time of death. Reshtaki says, "En devre Torah mitkayimim ela bemi shememit atzmo aleha." He learns that this is an attitude that one has to have when it comes to learning Torah, that he has to be willing to die for the Torah. Mimit means he has to sacrifice for the Torah. Shene'emar, Zot HaTorah Adam Ki Yamut Pe'ol. He has to be willing to die. Not physically die, which means he has to really be willing to deprive himself from the pleasures of this world, whether it's lack of sleep, lack of eat, lack of other luxuries, which means he has to be willing to deprive himself from life, which means from the luxuries of life. Adam kiyamut, and then he will have success at the study of Torah. However, a person is not going to be willing to sacrifice from his enjoyment and his temporary pleasures of this world, then the Vre Torah will not enter his system the proper way. Any other field of knowledge is not required the self-sacrifice. However, in the Vre Torah, part of the success in learning is Adam kiyamut be'ohel, which means it has to be b'mishim emit atzmo aleha. I once heard a chidush from the Hafez Chaim, they say over in his name, that there was once a fellow that was in his older years, and he started to work less in the store, and he used to hide out in the Beit HaMidrash. And the store kept on opening later every day, and his wife started to get concerned that the customers now were going to other places. So one day the wife followed her husband to see where exactly he's going in the mornings, neglecting his store, and he found out that he's going to the Beit HaMidrash. She started to scream at him, "You're neglecting the business. There's customers that are trying to purchase goods, and you didn't open the store yet because you're sitting and learning." So the husband said, "God forbid, after 120 years, when I'm in the grave, and there's going to be customers in the store, are you going to come to the grave now and start banging on the coffin and say, 'Get up, there's customers in the store'?" "Of course not." So he said, "When I'm learning make-believe for those few hours, I'm dead. Which means I'm not in the world. I don't exist. I'm not here." That's what the Pasuk Hafetz Chaim says. Zot HaTorah Adam Ki Yamut Be'ohel. You have to learn Torah B'mishim Emit Atzmo Aleha. Which means your attitude at the time of learning has to be you're dead to the world. That means no phone calls, no interruptions, no sidetrack. Which is if a person was dead, he cannot be interrupted by anything. So the attitude of learning must be you're shut out from the entire world. B'mishim Emit Atzmo Aleha. Baruch Adonai Le'olam.